And I believe now we have the pleasure of hearing from Professor Kathy Novak to give us a presentation on innovative learning.
Thank you, Chairman Koritz. Nice to have a new chair. Welcome.
Thank you.
The University Senate's Conference would like to present several presentations this spring that illustrate the heart and soul of what we do as faculty, especially as it aligns with both the current practices and the aspirational goals of the University of Illinois System Strategic Framework. Our first presentation is based on the first pillar of the framework, an institution of and for our students. Among the goals are to identify innovative instructional approaches and continually reimagine student-focused teaching and learning. Slide two. So drawing from the three universities of the University of Illinois, we have a short video montage with these professors who demonstrate one-on-one teaching, the flipped classroom, and excellence in research brought to the classroom. So just because this is a montage, let me introduce a little bit about each one. In the first segment, UIS Professor Morsch works one-on-one with an undergraduate student. As a distinguished Apple educator, he uses iTunes U lectures to flip his classrooms. Students also use iPad apps to write and draw experiments and video chat to complete assignments in a student-to-student collaboration. In the second segment, you'll see Professor Steiff explains the flipped classroom. He recently won the Humboldt Research Fellowship for Experienced Research to support his use of animations and simulations to improve learning in chemistry. He is also examining how new technologies improve representational competence and argumentation practices in the science classroom. And then in the final segment, you'll see an open house where students from a virtual reality class demonstrate their course projects. And UIUC Professor Stephen Lavelle designed the course after he served as head scientist at Oculus Rift, the company that developed the VR headset. Students benefit from instruction in the latest technology from someone who himself developed it or helped develop it. So we can play the video now.
My name is Dylan Taberzi. I am a junior chemistry major here at UIS. In the beginning, I was so excited to start something. I was just looking for something to do. But after I had spent some time speaking with Dr. Morsch and about green chemistry and with a couple of the other professors, it kind of interested me on a lot of the sustainability and let's move towards that. So once we kind of started on this project, I was so excited to get started. So I decided to pick this one. I had been given a couple of choices, but I figured this would be a step in the right direction towards making everything a little bit cleaner.
I'll train them and get them started on how to do the work. And then once they're comfortable with it, I'll sort of let them go and not look over their shoulder all the time and just come in and check on them. And then also they'll come and ask me anytime that they have questions, or I'll come in and check and ask if they have any specific questions or problems or just how things are going, you know, what successes that they're having.
In the sense of collaboration, it's very, very easy. I never have trouble going to my professors saying, hey, would you help me out with this? They're always so ready to just, hey, yeah, sit down, let's get to work on this. I've had a great experience with all of my professors, whether it be the chemistry department, biology, all of the CAP professors that I have. Everyone is very, very good with collaboration in that sense.
It's a lot like training for a trade. You know, when people do that, you work one-on-one with an expert in the field. And so rather than staying in a big classroom, here's your chance to work one-on-one with somebody that is an expert in the field, and they can transfer a lot more skills to you individually in that case than they can to an entire classroom full of people.
I believe that it's very important to do the research that I'm doing here, first of all, because it gives me life skills. I would like to pursue a career in the medical field, so obviously I'll be spending a lot of time in lab, running a lot of different tests. So this is kind of the hands-on approach. Hey, we're getting started early. It's excellent. I meet a lot of great people, get great relationships with my professor, a lot on one-on-one time. I learn a lot of new techniques that I would not be able to learn otherwise. So there's so many things that go into this.
I actually see my job as twofold. One is to advance science, but probably even more important than that is to generate a new generation of scientists. It's to train people that are going to go out there and are going to be excited about doing science, being a doctor, being a pharmacist, whatever it is that they're doing at the end, that they're going to be better at that. And so that's actually my favorite product that I produce are my students, and see what they make of their careers, of their lives, and hope that I had some kind of a small impact on that.
Halfway through the last spring semester, Dr. Morsch had asked me to go with him to the BCCE, which is the Biennial Conference on Chemical Education at Penn State University. And I went up there this summer, and we had made a poster of all our findings, everything that we had, and we presented that to a lot of chemical educators all over the country. It was a fantastic experience, met a lot of great people, and found out that there's a lot out there, and we are actually doing the right thing. A lot of people hadn't made the change that we had done, so I was amazed, and I was so happy that we could kind of contribute that to the scientific field. I come from a small area, so it's perfect, the small size. Anyway, I get a lot of one-on-one time with my professors, which is excellent, so just kind of the personal factor makes it all the more enjoyable for me.
We really focus on our undergraduates, and so we're excited to work with them and help train them to be better chemists and better scientists.
Chem 232 is a full flip class now, so what that means is that I don't lecture anymore at all, not a single day of the semester to the students. So the structure that we have adopted in some of our sections is as follows. So every lecture that I used to give in the class is now an online lecture that I made myself using QuickTime. And if you have questions about how to do that, I'm happy to answer those, and also to give you some of the details related to what Tony said earlier. It did not make my life easier. It made my life a lot harder when I made the videos. But once the videos were constructed, then things got a lot easier. So the students in the class are held accountable for watching the lectures online before they come. In QuickTime, I use PowerPoints in order to show them the imagery that I want to, which I talk over them as we go through, as well as several animations that I made that are relevant to the content for this particular course. The videos range from between 15 minutes to 45 minutes, depending on where we are during the course of the semester, and regardless of length, students are responsible for watching the entire thing. The next day, when they come into class, we spend the entire 75-minute period doing applications of the concepts that were communicated in the videos to problems that are of interest to us in organic chemistry. In the classroom, when the students come in, they're put into small groups that they self-organize. The classes are around 250 people show up for that. And the ramping up questions usually goes as follows. Low-level questions begin at the start of class in order to ensure that they have basic ideas before we increase difficulty from question to question to question. This gives me an opportunity to gauge where the students are with clicker responses. My benchmark in the class is if 80% of the people have it right, we just keep going. I don't even talk about it. If we're right around 80%, then I'll do a micro lecture to the students in order to cover what were the relevant pieces of material that were in the videos that you may have forgotten about that are important for applying to this particular type of problem?
20%.
If it's 20%, that hasn't happened in this case, but if I did have a case where the class was performing that low, we would stop and probably expand the micro lecture a bit longer to make sure that everybody understands what's going on. Some people in the room have sat in my class before to see what this is like. It's fairly noisy in there. The students work together on the problems. They're encouraged to collaborate on the problems. They are not competing with each other to get them right. They do, however, need to get them right in order to do well in the course, because 8% of the grade is actually your accuracy on responding to the questions. So it is not an attendance poll for them. If they don't watch the video and they don't understand the content, they can't answer the questions, and it will negatively impact their grade over the course of the semester. In terms of what we do, so I just described to you sort of this is just nuts and bolts of what the structure looks like before the flip and after the flip. Again, the students spend the majority of their time engaging with what would be the declarative knowledge that otherwise I would have communicated directly in lecture by watching videos on their own or at home. Anecdotally, a lot of the students say to me that they watch them on the train on the way to campus. So I export them in 720p so that they can at least watch them on their phones if they want to. And we spend, again, the entirety of our time together when we're in the lecture hall doing applications of those concepts to problems that are relevant to the discipline.
I kind of see that VR, the future of VR is way bigger than I even imagined 3 years ago, and I'm excited. Like this open house kind of shows that yes, it's gonna happen. It's gonna be everywhere. Like I'm just excited about it.
Virtual
reality is exciting because we can create our own reality in a sense that we were literally in space just 5 minutes ago. So the project's name is Move Your Way. It's a dot connecting game intended for children with movement disorders, and our project specifically targets children with cerebral palsy.
I really believe that it's gonna be for something bigger, like it's gonna be a medium for us to experience life beyond just entertainment.
Our project is about preserving a kind of World Heritage Site. There are these caves that were built there from Buddhist monks. They painted the kind of merging of all these Buddhist theologies. There are a bunch of different stories and everything in each and every cave, but the caves are unfortunately deteriorating. So basically our goal was to take that and model it in VR. What I think really sets it apart from everything else is it breaks all the physical barriers that you can think of. It's a kind of out-of-world experience. It doesn't matter where you are, as long as you have the software, you can experience a completely different world.
It's pretty amazing because we're one of the pioneering virtual reality classes, and I think it also puts a sense of pressure to accomplish something great. Yep, I think it gave a huge push, and because it's at Illinois, it would have to be amazing.
And could I have the last slide, too? Oh, thank you. Yeah, those clips came from the public relations offices at each of the three universities, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Novak. Looks like sure be a lot of fun to be a college student, huh? Yeah. Now, Walt, what about some of that virtual reality work toward financials? Is that a consideration?